there with her kids and got a nice house, little, like, looks like a Jeep or something they drive around in, and Suzuki. And when's Brother Wells coming back? Do you know? May? They're already here, so there's a lot on Brother Justin right now, taking over and keeping things going while the missionary's away for 2 months. So let's keep him in prayer and whatever else you got to write down on the list back there. Everybody have lessons 13 and 14? Lessons 13 and 14. Anybody need the sheets for tonight? All right, Brother Sam does. Let's see, the ushers are probably counting all that money that came in. So, Ian, can you find one? All right, now, we don't have many sword drills tonight. We've got a few, but we're going to have to, let's all turn to Luke chapter 21, verse 33 to start out with. This is not on your notes, but our first question tonight, which is actually number 13 this year, as we're talking about answers, the question tonight, number 13, is this: does the Bible claim to be the Word of God? And that's obvious. These are very obvious to you and I, and yet these are good arguments. I have used this argument right here, I don't know how many times, when talking to people. I was talking to a fella not too long ago, just about a month ago, I think, and he was talking about how he's studying all the religions of the world. And he's going to search for the truth. And I said, why don't you start out with the book that claims thousands of times to be the Word of God? Why don't you start out there, and if you can prove that it's not, then go on to something else. But it's the only book that claims to be the Word of God thousands of times. Now, anybody can make that claim. Doesn't mean it is, but it's the only one that does make the claim thousands of times to be the Word of God. The estimate is about 4,000. I've never checked that because there are direct claims that it is the Word of God and then ones that are implied, and we'll explain that with our answer tonight. But notice what it says here in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 33. It says this: heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's word, if Jesus spoke the truth, then God's word must be present somewhere on earth. Because he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In fact, those words are repeated in Matthew chapter number 24 and verse 35, and Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. So if you study those words and memorize them and say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, you can brag that you just memorized three verses because they're all exactly the same. Heaven and earth, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all synoptic gospels record this saying of Jesus Christ: heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Okay, so Jesus called them my words, and a couple thousand times here we're going to see that they are called God's words. So what conclusion can you make from that? This isn't the lesson tonight, but what conclusion can you make from that? Listen to what Jesus said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words. He's God. All right, now that's not the question we're asking tonight. But look constantly for proofs of the deity of Christ, because he's denied. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come from above is the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus said three times, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words. Jesus said, these are my words. And then we're going to see almost 2,000 times it says they're God's words. So what conclusion? Jesus is God. Jesus is God, okay? So that's just an aside there. All right, but let's do ourselves a let's start with a sword drill. Not only does he say his word shall not pass away, but Draw swords. Let's look for a little phrase here that's worth noting as before we go on. Matthew 5:18. Go. Matthew 5:18. When you find it, start reading. Matthew 5:18. All right, now that says a few things there, but one jot or one tittle, any idea what those are? Yeah, they're like little ornamental, kind of like if you speak in Spanish, I don't know Spanish, but sometimes like a mañana, and there's a little curvy line over the end. That's the same thing in Hebrew. There's sometimes little ornamental things, and the tittle being the smallest one. And Jesus said, you know, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot and one tittle of the law won't pass till all be fulfilled. And so that's pretty specific. Not only the words, but the jots and the tittles are eternal. They're eternal. So our question is, does the Bible claim to be the Word of God? The answer is yes, thousands of times. Thousands of times. And because it does, this establishes only two responses. It either is or it isn't. Again, there's no in-between. You can't just say, yeah, it's just the words of good men that, like some people say, yeah, just some good men. No, good men don't lie 2,000 times. All right? They can't be a good man. A good man doesn't lie 2,000 times in writing in black and white and deceives people. That's not a good man at all. All right, it wouldn't be bad man either. What kind of bad men would tell us all about man's heart and the consequences and judgment and hell and all those kind of things? Who would do that? So it either is or it is not. There's only two answers. It either is what it claims to be, the Word of God, or it is not. But here's a list. Now, at the bottom of the list, I want you to notice it says 1,956 times. I had the number up to 2,195, but I lost some. It's been a study that I've been doing for a long time, and I don't know where they went, so this is all I could come up with for the study tonight. But, in fact, I want to challenge you to find some phrases I've missed in my study. But here's a bunch of phrases that directly attribute verses to God speaking. For instance, look at the first one. It says, saith the Lord. How many times? 815 times you'll see that phrase, saith the Lord, in the Bible. Again, it's either God speaking or man lying, one of the two. But there's 815 times. Now notice the verse right above it. It says this in 2 Timothy. This is the general verse to answer the question. Does the Bible claim to be the Word of God? Yes, thousands of times. Here's the key verse, I think, in all the scriptures. It says this in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Notice that's Paul claiming to speak by the Holy Ghost, writing to Timothy, and he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, the word inspiration is a Greek word, theos, neustis, theos or theos, meaning God, neustis, breathed. God breathed. All scripture is God breathed. All scripture came from the very mouth of God and was breathed to man. So that's the best scripture to know, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration, the breath of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That's the best verse. Now, let's see the explanation here, and there's probably some people watching, and there always is, so I may just go through this here in detail fast. It says, see how many times either directly or indirectly the Bible claims to be the Word of God. Now, this chart is about those that are directly claiming that God spoke, with such phrases as this. Number one, saith the Lord 815 times in the Bible. Word of the Lord 255 times. The Lord said 221 times. The Lord spake 144 times. The Lord commanded 104. Thy words, 59. I command, 49. Word of God, 48. God said, 46. My words, 40. Lord hath spoken, 31. Thy words, 19. Words of the Lord, 19. So I'm halfway down through the list. I'm not going to do them all. They get smaller and smaller, but you get more that say, God commanded, God spake, Lord saith command, Lord answered, Lord had spoken, words of God, saith God, God saith, the Lord commandeth, said God, God commandeth, thou commandest. Those are all phrases indicating that what's about ready to be said claims to be coming from the very mouth of God. Now, I want to challenge you to go look for some more verses, or phrases, rather, phrases. Find them and turn them into me, because I'd like to keep adding to my list. But what I have done here is documented now 1,956 times where the Bible directly claims to be the words of God. Then other times it is implied, and this is where some believe there are thousands of times where it is implied by the context that God is speaking. All right, here's one example on your sheet. It's in Luke 9 and verse 35. It says this, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Now again, that's implied. If you were reading in the context, the conclusion of who is speaking would be who? God. Yeah, that's the only, by the context, it is implied. It doesn't state, God said, this is my beloved son, hear him, but it says there came a voice. And many, many times as you read Old and New Testament, you'll read the tenor of the words that it's obvious God is speaking, but it doesn't say he's speaking. You just know by the context that he's speaking. Habakkuk, for instance, and I think it's the first chapter he's complaining, and then the second chapter is totally different. And by the time you read the end of it, you say, oh, this is God speaking to Habakkuk. And there's many of those. Some people believe almost 2,000. So that's why sometimes you'll hear me say, you know, the Bible Bible claims either directly or indirectly in an implied manner that it is the Word of God almost 4,000 times. Almost 4,000 times. And again, that this is important because it means that it either is or it isn't, and there's no in-between. It is or it isn't, and there's no in-between. So if you have this, and I don't know, there's just times you'll be out visiting and say, how do you know for sure? This is where I would bring this up. I said, well, the Bible claims, either directly or in implied manner, that it is the Word of God over 4,000 times. Now, I'll tell people, why don't you start with a book like that in your search for truth? Why don't you start with a book that claims to be God's Word almost 4,000 times? And then, I mean, if you could prove it wrong and say, no, that's not God's Word, that's at least 4,000 lies, I'll go on to some other religion or some other book or something. But start with the book that claims that. The Bible claims to be the Word of God. And so the answer is yes. Thousands of times, and that is going to come up. And there are people too that don't believe in the Bible. They say, well, you know, it's just a bunch of fairy tales or just the words of men. And then you can also bring this up to them and say, but it claims to be God's word over 4,000 times. And then you got them kind of on the defensive because they're either going to admit that's a lot of lies. Or it's true, but they're going to have to make up a decision. Now, what's pretty neat is you can get into the history and some of the science in the Bible and the prophecies in the Bible, and you can show to somebody, you know, no man could come up with this stuff. So it is, but so directly or implied, anybody got anything they think that could be added to this list I'm missing? What? Yeah, all right. The revelation of Jesus Christ, okay. And so that statement implies that the whole book now is God speaking there. All right. Now, here's a question that is pretty prevalent in the next one. Question 14, pretty prevalent in the body of Christ, English-speaking body of Christ. There's not a lot of other languages that have all kinds of versions of the Bible. Some of them have a couple. Maybe the Spanish have a couple they battle over. But the English is crazy. There's hundreds. There's some reason why the English Bible specifically is attacked. Anybody want to take a guess on why that probably is? Why is the English Bible specifically attacked, maybe more than the other languages of the world? Okay, one third of the world speaks English. Another third of the world is learning how to speak English. And, you know, if you and I were God, I don't think that caught him off guard. I don't think God said, oh man, everybody's speaking English. I didn't know that. I should have been prepared. No, I think God was setting the whole thing up for hundreds and hundreds of years so we could get our Bible, the King James Bible, in the English language, because God knew in the end almost everybody would either be reading English or studying English, wanting to know English. Do you think the devil knows that too? And so which Bible would he particularly want to corrupt and confuse people about? The English, right, Ken? I'm not sure. That's a second. Huh? Yeah. There's good possibility, yeah. Pastor Seth says even in China they're all trying to speak English. So we can see there's an obvious war trying to destroy the credibility of the English Bible more than any other. And we should work feverishly to get the Bible translated in other languages for sure, because not everybody's going to speak English and everybody has a soul. But this is the real battlegrounds. And even in the body of Christ, man, there's so much division over this question. Why do you use the King James Bible? Now, a lot of people think we're just ignorant hicks. Okay, that's why they use the King James Bible. They're just ignorant hicks who've never grown up, never been educated. But it's really the opposite. It is our education about manuscripts that convinces us that it is the only English language Bible in the English language that is taken from the original Hebrew of the Old Testament and the original Greek of the New Testament. So it's not we're uneducated hicks, it's that we're educated. And we're educated about manuscripts. As you know, the Bible originally was not written in English. We know that, right? Basically three languages on three continents, you know, by 40 different authors over 1,500 years, mostly Hebrew, Greek, some Aramaic. And we have what's called the original manuscripts. Now, in the Old Testament, that was all written in Hebrew. This is just general knowledge now. It's deeper than this, but we'll keep it simple here. The Old Testament was basically written in Hebrew, and the Hebrew that is the original Hebrew is called the Masoretic Text. That's what it's called, the Masoretic Text. It was preserved by a group called the Masoretes. They were like the fundamentalists. They were the ones without compromise that refused to allow God's word to be corrupted originally. The Old Testament's the Masoretic Text in the Hebrew. The New Testament was basically mostly written in Greek, and that was written by what we call the Majority Text, also known as the Received Text or Textus Receptus. Now, our answer is this to this question. Look at the answer. It's the only English Bible completely translated from the original texts. All right? It's the only one. And there's hundreds of them out there now in the English since the 1970s, since really the late 1970s. All of a sudden, hundreds of versions of the Bible have been translated into the English. Did some of those use the Masoretic text and the received text in their translation? Yes. Yes. But they also use corrupted texts, especially for the New Testament, which we'll explain here in just a moment, and that's where the big difference is. So really, to this day, March the 6th, 2019, the King James Bible is the only English Bible completely translated in the Old Testament from the Masoretic text and the New Testament from the majority text, later known as the received text or the Textus Receptus of the Greek. Tracy. Yeah, this is a question that came up in this church Sunday morning. A lady asked me, I want a Bible for my son, but it's got to be easy to read. And this is a challenge. She means well. She means very, very well for her son. And so she was looking over here and she said, these are all King James versions. Do you have anything easier for my child to read? My answer to that, this is not tonight's question, but my answer to that is have your children grow up on the best English that there ever was in history. The English of the King James Bible, the English of Shakespeare, and that day and age. That was when English was at its best. And yeah, we're dumbing down the Bibles. We're a lazy people. That's what it is. We're a lazy people in this country. And I'm not saying you in this room, but this country's lazy. They just want everything simple, everything dumbed down. And our education, I think, is just horrible today. You know, I think an eighth grade education 200 years ago was equal to a college degree today. It's really fallen that far. So that is often a reason and maybe even an excuse or something that Satan has used to say, well, this Bible's just easier to read. Easier to read. I don't know if you've ever read the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence or the Bill of Rights. It's not easy reading. But I'm glad it's there, and I don't want anyone to change it. I don't want anyone to monkey with one single word of it, because those documents are like sacred to us as Americans. Don't want to change them. Don't want to dumb it down. That would be scary, to dumb down those documents and what that might open the door to in America. The same thing with the Bible. Now, why is it since 1978... over 200 versions have been written, different versions, and Dr. Phil Stringer said it was over 400 different versions since 1978. For instance, the New International Version came out in 1978. The New Testament actually in 1973. The Complete New International Version in 1978. And then they completely changed it by 1982. It's been revised three times, the New International Version. 1982 comes out the New King James Version. So you got the New International Version comes out in 78. The New King James Version comes out in 82, 4 years later. And the NIV revises itself 4 years later. You know, I like to ask you and others to think, just common sense sometimes, is God that confused? Does God get together a whole bunch of quote-unquote scholars over here to translate the NIV, a whole bunch of scholars over here to translate the New American, or the New King James Version, And 4 years apart, they come up with their finished product, which doesn't say the same. The New International Version deletes 66,000 words from the King James. The New King James Version deletes over 20,000 words from the King James. So there's a 40,000 word difference between the two versions. Does that sound like God? Is he that confused? Does he say, you know, these 66,000 words I had in there originally, we don't need them. Nah, wait a minute, let's put 40,000 back in. And let's come up with this one. This is 20,000 less than the King James. And who knows what else has been written back then, the Living Bible, the Good News for Modern Man, and all the other ones, over 200. And this has just produced tremendous confusion. So in the explanation, we've gone through the first paragraph. The second paragraph is just something you need to know or need to have. Maybe you don't need to know it as a historian, but you need to know at least where the material is, because I think this is where it would help people in the body of Christ to convert them over to the King James Bible, is to understand the origin of these perverted Bibles that we have today. And mostly the work was done by two men back in the 1800s, from 1853 to 1881, two bishops, Anglican church bishops in England, who were wolves in sheep's clothing. And didn't the Lord warn us about those? You see somebody in sheep's clothing and you say, well, they must be a sheep. Let me go hang around with them. The next thing you know, they're a wolf on the inside and they're devouring you. But their names are here on your sheet tonight. Brooke Westcott and Fenton Hort were two false prophets who rewrote the Greek New Testament. Now, they did this so deliberately, it took them 28 years. That's a long project. They did what they did intentionally. And so many times they deleted the blood of Jesus Christ, deleted verses about the Trinity, took out words like hell and damnation and so on and so forth. This was a deliberate project of two extremely intelligent men that took them 28 years. And when their project was over, they called it by this name. It's on your list, on your notes here. Quote, New Testament in the original Greek. But it wasn't the original Greek. It was borrowed from two very, very, very small manuscripts called Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, which had been rejected by the church for 1,800 years. When we call the King James Bible the received text, we mean the church received it. It's also called the authorized version, authorized by the church. The church was called the majority text first, then the textus receptus, which means the received text. In other words, it was what the church received or accepted for 1,800 years. Then these guys came along in the mid-1800s, and they took two manuscripts that had just recently been discovered, called Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, which were perverted, and the Alexandrian text too. I'm going to show you the words of that cult in a couple of weeks that blow your mind, what they believe. And they took those texts and said they were superior and that they were older than the received text. And they started translating out of those perverted copies of the Greek. And they based their New Testament Greek on those manuscripts that were corrupted. Now, I'm going to give every one of you one of these, or at least Sean is. I don't really have any verses for you to write. Your dad's not here. If you haven't gotten this, please read this when you go home or tomorrow or something. Please be familiar with these guys and how evil they were. Read their own words. I preached this sermon one time a couple years ago. I don't know if it was a couple years ago, last year, but I preached a sermon here called Who Are Westcott and Hort? That sermon has had more hits on YouTube than any sermon I've ever preached. And I'm glad because when you realize who Westcott and Hort are, if these two men came to this church, I wouldn't let them work in our nursery, let alone write our curriculum for Sunday school or kids clubs or children's church or anything else. I wouldn't. They're so corrupt. And you got to read in their own words, okay? This is something you need to know, because the body of Christ is totally confused today. And if you just know who these two guys are, you would reject any Bible that has anything to do with these two men, which is all of them, except the King James Version. All of them, okay? Now, we got to go through these verses really fast here at the bottom. So let's have some sword drills. Our question in the bottom, the kids are coming up any minute now, illustration. How is the Bible attacked in the following scriptures? Draw swords. 2 Peter 3:16. Go. Okay, write down the word rest, W-R-E-S-T. W-R-E-S-T is an old English word which means twist. They twist the scriptures to their own destruction. So that's number one. How is the Bible attacked? In the following scriptures, some people twist them. Some people twist them. And by the way, in that verse, 2 Peter 3:16, Peter, if you heard Hannah, Peter said that Paul's writings were the scriptures. Let me say that again. Peter said Paul's writings were the scriptures. Well, he wrote probably 14 books of the New Testament. And he said people twist them. All right, draw swords. Jeremiah 23:36. Go. Jeremiah 23:36 says, for you have perverted the words of the living God. So is perverting God's word something new? No, Jeremiah said, you've perverted God's words. If you have Jeremiah open, look back at verse 30. Calvin didn't read this one. I didn't have him. Verse 30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. So there's another thing they do with the word. Number one, they rest it. Number two, they pervert and steal God's words. Look over at Jeremiah. You should all be there. Look at 36. Jeremiah 36:23. Some of you remember this story. It says, and it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was upon the earth. They destroy it, they cut it up in pieces. Genesis 3, verses 1 and 4 on your notes. Satan questioned God's word and changed it. He did that with the first human being, Eve and Adam. Do you think he might still do that today? Question God's word. Do you think he might change it? Do you think he's bold enough to change God's word today? Well, he was back with the first two. Why would we think he's any different? Do you ever hear people say, oh, all the Bibles are the same? No, they're radically different. Radically different. They're changed. And things that are different cannot be the same. All right, draw swords. What else do they do with the Bible? What some people do? Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Go. Tells us what we shouldn't do here, but people do it. Deuteronomy 4:2. Okay, don't add to it. Don't diminish from it. Don't add to it. Don't diminish from it, okay? You go to the New International Version. You come up to Mark chapter number 16 and verse 9, and what does it say? The rest of this chapter shouldn't be in here, from verses 9 through 20. They say it doesn't belong. You get to Acts chapter 8 and 37, it's not even in there. They go from verse 36 to 38, skip the whole verse. And over again, there's examples like that in the New International Version. 8% of the King James Bible is deleted from the New International Version, 8%. Now, here's a couple that aren't on your notes, but I'd like you to write them at the bottom. I still don't see the kids, so let's do this. Draw swords. What's the score? 2-2. Ooh, this is the last one. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Go. All right, everybody, keep your place there. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. This was interesting. This word corrupt means to sell it or to peddle it, to make profit of it. You know what all these new versions are about? What's the greatest, the best-selling book in all of human history? The Bible. The Bible. And dumbed-down people want an easier version. I forgot. I'll try to find out for 2 weeks from tonight, but you have to make so many changes in a manuscript, thousands of them, to get a copyright. You have to change. You have to make thousands of changes in a manuscript to get a copyright. Every Bible is copyrighted, which means they're making a lot of money on them. I mean, it is a quick way to make money, is to get a Bible you can write that be popular. It'll sell like hotcakes, and you'll be rich very soon. That's what it means by corrupt the word of God. All right, turn over, everybody, to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, our final one. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So they wrest it, twist it, they pervert it, they steal it, they cut it up, they question and change it, they add or diminish to it, they corrupt it, and they handle the word of God deceitfully. That last verse we read, it says, many corrupt the word of God. Doesn't say a few. It says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17. Many. So do you think anything's changed in the last 2,000 years? No. So I want to encourage you, stick to the King James Bible. Learn about these men, educate people about these men, and they will say, you know, I'm not going to read their Bibles anymore. I'm going to go back to God's Bible. All right, we'll set up the microphones here, and the kids are going